deep does this deep state go, and just what kind of shadow government do we have? You know, you hear us talk often about the Luciferian elite, the shadow government, the deep state, the criminal cabal that exists within our government. And it's interesting when you see the development of information, development of documentation. And that's exactly what George Webb has done, is developed the documentation. Like any good investigator would, he accepts the, or looks into the information, follows it to its natural conclusion, doesn't embellish anything, and the results are surprising. George Webb is our guest. He's got an incredible, that literally incredible, YouTube series of reports. Begins with, where's Eric Braverman, and it kind of blossoms into a larger investigation. Before we get back to Mr. Webb, I want to just tell everyone, you know, the war is on, in my view, at least here in the United States. The war's on. There's an attempted coup inside our government. We should expect some bumpy roads ahead. And if there are, and I do suspect there will be, are you prepared? Do you have the food set aside? Are you and your family prepared? Part of the preparations, folks, is having an appliance to cook with. That's where Minuteman Stove comes into play. MinutemanStove.com. That is the location for the Cadillac of rocket stoves, because without power, you need an alternative source of cooking. Well, this is a refactory insulated 50 caliber ammo can. That's Minuteman.com. It's like a kitchen stove. Let me tell you, I've used them. Takes a very little firewood or for fuel, and it heats much like a kitchen stove would. Very little smoke, if any, if you use the proper wood. And the outside only gets to about 200 degrees. So you can set it on a picnic table. You could take it camping. Take it to a picnic. I mean, use it just like a regular picnic table type stove. And in a pinch, or in an emergency, I should say, Minuteman Rocket Stove will save your butt. Minuteman Rocket Stove, get it only at MinutemanStove.com. Plus, they've got a marvelous array of fire starters. These fire starters are the best of the best. You're talking about the Cadillac of rocket stoves and the Cadillac of fire starters. Go to MinutemanStove.com. Again, our guest is George Webb. George, man, so yeah, here you are. Did you? I got to ask you this: when you first started out, you probably didn't think you were going to be poking at some big bears that you are, did you?
Well, yeah, I started out with the Clintons, so that's about as risky as it gets. you know, it's kind of like. You know, there's probably not, you know, all the bodies that were stacking up last summer with the DNC leaks and the WikiLeaks. I knew it was pretty risky, but, you know, one of the benefits of being, you just not afraid and I know the risks, is that, there's just so few people who are willing to do that. And I'm not trying to build myself up here. I'm just saying most journalists are just scared out of their mind to report this story. And thank gosh for my great researchers, because they're not afraid either. And it's just truth. We're not trying to hurt Hillary Clinton. We're not trying to hurt anybody. We're just trying to get the facts out and let everybody make their own mind up, make their own decision. And what I object to, and whatever, and my group objects to, is the cover up. You know, when you start hiding things, and gosh, it's been Daryl Issa asked for her emails in December of 2012, and here we are 5 years later, and we still don't have them. So,
since you brought that up, if it's just a departure from what we're talking about here, we just saw. And you don't have to answer this, or if you're not in it, we're just talking here, but since we just saw the political assassination of Michael Flynn in the Trump administration for ostensibly talking in transition to the Russian ambassador about sanctions that were laid against Russia in this big brouhaha that's taking place right now. You compare that to what you found, your research on the emails. I mean, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, it's going to blow your mind,
yeah.
Right?
Well, first of all, I don't know if people caught this, but 10 days ago, there was three Muslim brothers, and their name was Awan, A-W-A-N, like almost like Aswan Dam, like the dam in Egypt, but just no S, Awan. So there's these three brothers. They're 22 to 24 years old. They work in IT department of the House of Representatives, okay? They are making $160,000 a piece. They're all living in one house in Virginia. They have access to 8 different congressional leaders' accounts as far as the information that we're getting from 3 key committees. The House Permanent Subcommittee on Intelligence, which is, you know, everything. That oversees CIA, FBI, all the military intelligence agencies, DNI, ODNI, all of them. So that group, House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, that's chaired by Devin Nunes. So they have access to that information. They have access to Homeland Security Committee, right? Then they also have access to the Foreign Relations or Foreign Affairs Committee. So all of our economic deals that we're doing. So it's come out now that they were the ones who leaked the information for Yemen, the Yemen raid. Remember when the Navy SEAL got killed in the Yemen raid?
Yes.
That the Muslim Brotherhood, these three Muslim brothers who have contacts with the Muslim Brotherhood, are just fired when they try to illegally access all these accounts. Now, that goes back to the Rosenbergs giving the atom bomb away. You know what I mean? That's high treason. That's electric chair stuff. And you haven't heard the media say one word about it. And Flynn, I'm sure, was talking about sanctions. I'm sure he's probably, when the transcript comes out, so what? That's a part of negotiation, you know?
Sure.
Who cares? Yeah.
Well, I heard Krauthammer refer to this as a cover-up without a crime, you know, with respect to Flynn. Anyway, yeah, it's part of the transition. Yeah. But having said all of that, my goodness, okay, so and that's an important point that you brought out. I don't think we covered that enough. The Awan brothers, by the way, that's nearly $500,000 in one flop house. Salaries, that is, to three brothers living in a flop house taking care of the IT department or IT needs of the 8 leaders of our congressional leadership. My goodness, what could possibly go wrong? All right, yeah.
You can't imagine a worse scenario. It's almost like there is no other scenario. It's having your three worst enemies having all your information. And it wasn't just, like access to, like Hillary had a year ago to classified information. This was as of a couple of days ago, having access to all that. So anyway, that's that.
Okay. All right. Well, again, you're digging, man. I'll tell you, and folks, George Webb is our guest. That's W-E-B-B. Find him on YouTube. Subscribe to his channel. Watch his videos. His investigative work product is, to me, second to none. I think I've watched almost all of them at least once. I got so much information. I don't even know how you keep half this stuff straight. You had a couple of, actually some good visuals too, which, you know, I love that. I love it when you do visuals, with the lines and stuff.
I try to storyboard everything. I try to storyboard everything because I think most people, when they read a story, they don't have time to go and Google every person that's mentioned and then associate that with a face and then go back to the story. And it's a lot of work. And I think it's just because modern journalism is kind of lazy. So I do that legwork. And so I do kind of the Hercule Poirot thing where they murder on the Orient Express. I bring all the suspects into the room, you know, and I let you look around the train car at all these people. And then I'd start asking questions, you know, and then you're in it. You're on my shoulder. You know, you're on the shoulder of the investigative reporter in my series. And each slide is like that. Each slide is a train car full of suspects, you know, and that's what makes it fun. And the other thing I do is I work a lot with maps, and I try to really help, you know, along the way that we're on this journey, try to find the truth. I you know, there's a lot of people have said, I never knew about all this geography in Africa. geez, I've learned so much, you know, about Africa or whatever, or just where the pipelines are, or you know, just you know, who these people are. And I'll do background searches, so when somebody's introduced as a character, and that's how I look at it, is I don't want to overwhelm the viewer. You know, I don't want to bring in 12 people into the train call at once and then introduce all 12. I'll introduce two or three, and then I'll bring in one a day. So you can kind of meet them like you would meet somebody at a party, you know, a little bit at a time, so you can kind of digest it.
Right.
And, and I think that's a good format, because you really get a deep understanding.
You know, yeah, you make it very easy, which... I find myself doing the same thing. You know, I'm trailing down a story, and I'm thinking, okay, I wonder who this person X is, and then I've got to search the open source information on that, and sometimes, you know, it takes you on all these different trails, but it's very time consuming. I don't think people realize how time consuming. Let's say a 10-minute audio or 10-minute video that you've done, that might take you 10 hours, right? Because there's just a lot of digging. Yeah.
Probably every 10 minutes is 10 hours of digesting things that have already been digested, and there's probably 200 Google searches or more. If you consider the researchers that are involved, there's probably more than that. And I always try to make things as absolutely simple as possible with a graph. And I try not to talk, you know, I just try to reduce the amount of talking to the bare minimum to what's needed to tie the story together. And, you know, one of the things I never thought I would know anything about is how much your body is worth. You know, the value of your organs, you know. I had no idea, you know, so I had to go into that and find out, oh, here's what a kidney's worth, and oh, here's what a heart's worth, and, you know, there's 12 different opinions across the world, and finding out how long they... Yeah, I know, it is disturbing. It was very disturbing.
yeah, you know, I'd like to see your search history, okay? Knowing what I know, of course, yeah. Look at this search history.
The FBI, I'm done, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, like that barber that slit everybody's throat, or whatever that guy's name was. I can't remember the play that... know what I'm saying is...
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question here, because you mentioned your team of researchers, and I just so people understand, you are doing this. You're not paid by anybody. You're not working for anybody. The people who are helping you just to get the truth out there.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Everybody's volunteer.
And folks, that's what, to me, this is what makes this story even more remarkable, because we're doing the same thing. I mean, you know, we have sponsors and such, and people who help us financially, but here's a guy out there just providing incredible information, detailed information, and a group of people are helping him. And again, George Webb, WEBB. If it sounds like I'm a fan, I am, okay? So there's no hiding that. But again, the Investigative Work product is fabulous. George Webb, and find his YouTube channel. There. All right, so, I guess we have to kind of walk this back a little bit more. Where do we leave off, or where should we go from here? Braverman is still, we still don't know where Braverman is, right?
Hasn't shown his face.
Okay.
Yeah. He's gone on Twitter.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I'm not going to interrupt you anymore. Go ahead.
Oh, no. He's gone back on Twitter, so we know he's alive, and he's been announced as the new head of Google's foundation, Eric Schmidt's foundation. So a lot of times what happens is they just, you know, Hillary shut down the Clinton Global Initiative, A lot of times what they do is just shut one down in one place. It's kind of like the carnival. They shut it down one place and they just move it out of town, you know, to someplace else. It's still the carnival, you know, same people.
I love that mental image, carnies, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it, you know, the guy who came in to do the USAID, which is U.S. Foreign Aid for Haiti, was 37 when he came in for the world, and he just got put in ahead of the Rockefeller Foundation. So, one of the great fun things about the research project is you can see these patterns. So every time, you know, something is unpalatable to the public. Let's say we want to test a virus as a bioweapon on a population. We'll run it through a foundation, you know, and then we'll test it, and then we'll run it through another foundation to test the vaccine. And that's one of the things they bring out in how are covert operations kind of funneled through foundations. And we get into the black budget and DynCorp is one of many companies that's in the black budget, but it's the string that's the most fun to pull because the patterns are so clear, you know. And this is really, the project has really kind of morphed, that was your question, Doug, it's kind of morphed into shining light on the black budget. And just where is the $6.5 trillion and what do you do, how do you get a $6.5 trillion deficit? And is it just that you run the presses at night? Is that what you do? I mean, I think that's what they do. So, you know, that's kind of where the thing is going. And it's just an open research project. And the whole thing kind of centers on getting these 650,000 emails from Anthony Weiner. Because my working theory is, like Trump said, it's the treasure trove. It opens up everything. It's the Pandora's box. It's the arms deals. It's the oil deals. It's the sex trafficking deals. It's the organ harvesting deals. It's the pay for play. It's the quid pro quo. It's everything.
It's
so it's like this, it's the bouquet. So we're really
that.
Working.
Yes.
Yeah. We're working, you know, with Jason Chaffetz to get that information.
Okay, and it's a, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame to me that we don't have any media with any interest in the real stories like this. But that's not to say that you're, you know, that's not to disparage you at all. You are actually doing, you know, the work of all of the networks, all of the print media, and doing great work at it. That's my view. And so, just to go back a little bit, as your investigation progressed in from the Clinton Foundation and the DynCorp, and for those not familiar, DynCorp is an American private military contractor. They started back as I think it was an aviation company back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, right after World War II. And, yeah. They morphed into, well, what are they now? Well, what is DynCorp? And who makes up DynCorp? I mean,
So DynCorp is formed at the same time as the CIA, and it's formed to basically be the black budget, or one of the black budget cutouts or front companies for the CIA. And as you mentioned, most of the stuff that they did early on was surveillance, reconnaissance, you know, trafficking arms, narco terrorism, where they guns go one way, drugs go in the other way. Mostly in Central America, but in Europe as well. What really kind of changed is when you started getting into this U.S. peacekeeper role, and this kind of starts with, I'd say the first big one was Bosnia, and that's where they started training police. So that's where you started getting into these police doing these kind of funny little trafficking, you know, escapades, you know, take 60-year-old guys taking 13-year-old wives. And, you know, first they encourage them to take a 17-year-old wife, and then they say, well, you should sell that wife, you know, 2 weeks later and get a 15-year-old, and then the 13-year-old. But then these guys are compromised now because there's a ton of pictures out there that with them being 58 years old with a 13-year-old. And,
right.
Yeah, so that's kind of the underhandedness of, you know, DynCorp is not a, I mean, it's rape, pillage, and plunder. It's their corporate motto. I mean, it's not, it's DynCorp for a reason. Dying Corp is the pun. But, you know, one of the nice parts of this research, because it could get all just very negative and, you know, gosh, sure, the world's terrible. But I, all along the way, I'll see authors, you know, people who've spent years looking at something. And so there was one author in who had uncovered Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking in Little St. James Island. And she spent 14 years looking into that, and her name's Conchita Sarnoff. So I'll highlight her book, and I'll put her book jacket up. And this kind of meandering path that I'm taking, it's kind of one of those Dungeons and Dragons things where you pick up and you find really great charms along the way, like you discover these great authors along the way. And I'll feature these authors. I will have to go and read the whole book, you know, or most of the book and all the reviews before I cite it, because I'd want to summarize it quickly, but then I want to also kind of give the author a plug. So if you watch my series, it isn't just about being, you know, fire-hosed information. It's really about being introduced to really great authors who've really written deeply on these subjects and who can support, you know, the conclusions I make.
You know, I wasn't planning on saying this, but I think you're responsible for at least one section of my bookshelf. I've got a very extensive library in my office. Over, I think now the total is over 1,500 books. I think you're responsible for a bunch of those, or a number of those, because exactly, you cite the books, you want more information, and it tickles me. It makes me, but that's shows I shouldn't show my age by saying that. But no, it does tickle me to think that you are explaining the process of your investigation that reflects how we do our investigations as well. And it's just, you know, thank you for doing that. And thank you, because people want to know. And the other thing I want to mention too, your videos and folks, I found nothing, absolutely nothing, even with the most delicate of subjects, nothing offensive by George Webb's presentations. Let me just say that right out. Now, I know we've got a predominantly Christian audience, and I found nothing offensive at all. Your delivery is so measured. It's great delivery, too. So the way you present the information.
Thank you. There's a guy named Eric Larson who wrote, I don't know if you remember, The Devil in the White City. We're kind of in the book chat now, right? And Devil in the White City was this horrible subject, you would think, about these murders that were being done at the time of the Chicago World's Fair in 1896. But what he does is he kind of cuts back and forth, and it was a big bestseller. He cuts back and forth between these murders and the architectural boom that's happening in Chicago because of the fire that's happened, and now there's this architectural boom. So he cuts back and forth, and he had a quote in the end where he said every quote in the book, anything with quotes in this book, is supported by a piece of documentation in my footnotes. And I never forgot that. And I know it's so much work to do that kind of meticulous footnoting, but I owe that to my viewers to do that. Every time I say something, everything I say in quotes has got to be supported by a piece of documentation. You don't have to do all that work. You just have to watch the 10-minute video, right?
Exactly.
But I try to bring it all together like you were. The best thing I can say is we're all together on the train car, and we've got the 12, you know, the Hercule Poirot, and we're on the Midnight Express, and we're trying to figure out who did the murder. And that's the best analogy I can come up with.
Well, you know what? I asked Eric to go in my office because I've got that very book that you referenced. No worries about that. He's looking at
Devil in the White City is the name of it. Devil in the White City. Yeah.
Yeah. He just said, "Oh, there's only 1,500 books in there." Like, you know, I'm supposed to find that. They're not, I don't know, the Dewey Decimal System. But you're right. And that's, folks, if you get nothing, I mean, if, in the past 5 minutes, if you get nothing out of this, just to appreciate the level of research, investigation, citation that's done by George Webb and us too. I'm going to throw us in there because doggone it, we deserve it. But the fact of the matter is, we're talking about subjects that are, you know, it's difficult to talk about this kind of stuff in polite company. You're talking about sex trafficking, fraud, money laundering, all kinds of nasty stuff. But it's important to understand. You're kicking over some pretty heavy duty rocks. And subsequent to this interview, I'm going to ask you, see if I can't get on your insurance policy, your life insurance policy. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Folks, we're talking with George Webb. Go to his YouTube channel. That's George Webb, W-E-B-B. He's a tenacious researcher, a guy that, I really like his investigative work product. His presentation is measured. It's well documented. And it's a whole lot of stuff here. We're going to be back one more segment with George Webb right after this. Stay right where you're at, folks.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free. Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Mr. George Webb. Go to his YouTube channel, subscribe, and don't just subscribe, watch the videos. Go back and start from day one and watch this fascinating, all-encompassing, comprehensive investigation unfold. I love a good investigation. I really do. That's my, 30 years and 30 plus years in the business as an investigator in the private sector. To see the quality, and I'm not, this is not false flattery. This is from the heart. And because I've learned a lot and I've taken many, many notes from George Webb, and I've cited him in the past. You've heard, folks, you've heard me. You've seen me cite him. And, so that's the YouTube channel, George Webb, W-E-B-B. And, we need to get the word out about this. His research needs to go viral. Trust me when I say that. And by the way, Eric, the tech, God bless him. Ask and ye shall receive. See, here it is. The devil in the white city. Here it is right here. I told you I had it. I told you. And he said, yeah. Oh, there it is. So the devil in the white city. So yeah, interesting book, by the way. And I want to thank Maria Canice, the author of Prepare for Persecution, for sending this to me. Actually, she sent this to me knowing that I would, get a lot out of it. Maria Canice, Prepare for Persecution. If you haven't bought that book on Amazon, do that. George Webb, thanks for holding, and welcome back. All right, so where do we go from here? Because we've been all over the place, and but I want you to really get what you think is important, get it out there, and because we have a lot of people just saying, "My goodness, you know, thanks for bringing our attention to George Webb," and other people saying, "Thanks for having you on." So take us where you want to take us.
Well, so let me do this. So my philosophy, and I talked about Eric Larson, and you know, if you have a lump of coal, you know, you can compress it and get, you know, something, you know, that's kind of good if you work with it a little bit. But if you put in 10 times the effort, you get the diamond, you know. And Harper Lee used to say this, the gal who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, is I can spend 8 hours writing something that's pretty good, but if I spend 80 hours, I'll write something that's memorable. And what I try to do for the viewer is I try to do that 80 hours, and I try to bring that writer who's written a great book, and it's a 500-page book. I won't read all the book, but I'll try to distill that down and then try to bring them in the room with you. And it's almost like you're Donald Trump and you're bringing in the 10 people in the Oval Office that can comment, and you're going to go around the room and you're going to ask them, what do you think? And they get one chance to say one thing. That's my strategy. And when I storyboard a slide, is to try to bring all that author's wisdom down to one or two phrases and sentences, you know, if that's possible. And
you do a good job of it. Yeah.
And try to summarize. And I try to say, hey, this is the best, you know, here are the patterns, here's the best that, you know, all these people have worked all their, you know, lives. I mean, a lot of these folks have worked 14 years, 15 years on these different topics, and just, we just don't have that kind of time. So that's the general strategy.
Okay.
But I do love a great story. And all along the way, I keep tripping over these great stories. And I have to tip these authors and say, hey, you should look at the story. It's a great story. You know, I didn't live this. This author did. So
right.
I almost look at it like it's a story within a story. I have mine, and then there are all these other offshoots that people can take if they want to go explore, you know. Yeah, if they want to go read Agatha Christie and Orient Express, they can go do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll be talking about Turkey, and then that'll cause some people to think, oh, yeah, that's interesting. I might take that vacation someday. So,
I just want to plug my own book, Stained by Blood. George, I was doing an investigation back in 1987 of the murder of my uncle, who was just a brutal murder in my family childhood home. And I started off as a murderer, not taking criminal cases, but in this case, of course, family member. It was a cold case murder, 5 years cold case. I took it, and what I started out with a murder investigation, I ended up with a Pizzagate investigation long before Pizzagate. But that's kind of the same thing you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right.
What's awesome, you know, Stained by Blood is interesting because, let's say you made Stained by Blood a open source investigation now. Okay, and let's say you worked on it 2 or 3 hours a day, you know, because we don't know the killer yet, right?
We do. In the book itself, the murder actually was solved, but what the parallel investigation, which I hadn't, when I walked into the investigation, I was just to solve the murder of my uncle. What happened was we discovered a satanic child kidnapping ring, much like Pizzagate, if you will, and that's still open-ended. But yes, so the open-ended aspect of that is still to be, the final chapter has yet to be written on that.
Okay, so let's pick it up right from there, because there are all these investigations that people think, oh, this is this culty thing that's happened here, this little satanic thing that's happened here, over here and over there. They're separate. They're unconnected. There's no, hierarchical nature to this, right? So one of the things I say in my work is, and what I've discovered just through looking at that is, no, by the way, there is a hierarchical nature in that, and this is trained. It's a trained blackmail, mechanism to get leverage on local, state, and federal politicians, you know, decision makers, judges, lawmakers. And that's why you have a Sandusky, case, and that's why you have the Boulder case with JonBenet. They're all part of the same thing. They're franchises. It's like a McDonald's that's underground. You just can't see the franchises, but it's the same thing. You know, we're going to order that French fry cutter and that milkshake maker, and it's all these satanic cults are there for a reason. And the Finders case, you know, in D.C. and the Boystown case. These are all just franchises, you know, going around the country. And what's amazing is the people around the world have read these cases and so forth, and they can connect the dots between all these things that are simple. There's going to be the stringers, these creepy guys that go out to the track practices and watch the guys run, you know, and the girls cheerleaders things, and they're going to encourage them to go get into porn and go to a weird party, and they're going to go to one party, and then they invite them into a weirder party after that, and you know, the drug raping and all that stuff. So once you see one, you see them all, and you know they try to get the kids, you know, the porn books and all that stuff, and it becomes very powerful when people who have a ethical basis to their life, a spiritual basis to their life, say this is an evil and I need to be a part of this to end this. And the first part of ending that is recognition. What's the pattern that leads up to this? Because these little covens or little cults are franchises. They're franchises.
That's a great way of describing exactly what we are seeing out there today. And that kind of, allow me to circle back, because you had referenced the 650,000 emails. Let's talk about those, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You've got, okay, so I know, and folks, you can go to George Webb's YouTube channel and definitely find the videos that address this. But okay, so what's your take on the 650,000 emails? Are we ever going to see, based on your sources, your information, your investigation? Because I've heard Alex Jones talk about this. I've talked about this on InfoWars, Alex Jones. I've talked about this on this program. But what are you seeing? What are your findings about this?
Well, if you think about it, these 650,000 emails travel through a lot of routers. When you send a message, it can go to Japan, you know, back. It can bounce all over the world when you send a message just to somebody across the street, depending on how the routers are set up at that moment and the traffic levels. So at all those points are points of interception. So the NSA can intercept those emails. They have those. Gmail, Google has those emails in their archives. Anyone who's in the New York Police Department, they've made copies, so they have those emails. Israel, China, and Russia have those emails by the last finding, maybe two other nations. So the choice for lawmakers and for the FBI right now, and McCabe, Andrew McCabe, who's running the investigation, is do you want to see those emails at the worst possible moment when you're trying to get some bill passed or running for re-election? Or do you just want to kind of tear the Band-Aid off and just say, look, let's just at least publish the metadata. Here's the to, from, the date, and the subject. Okay, so everybody can just kind of breathe a sigh of relief and not have this sword of Damocles hanging over them, you know. And I think it would be better for everybody. I think everyone in Washington, D.C. right now is just on this spider, you know, on this edge. That what's going to fall? What's going to happen next with these 650,000 emails? Hillary was so careless with all of it. It's out there. So that's really what I try to do in my investigation, is to at least publish the metadata so we can have some sunshine, and then, you know, have Washington get to a calm effect. Because I think the things like with the attacks on Flynn and everything, with, you know, Lindsey Graham and McCain, they're just so fearful of what is in those emails. Everyone is fearful in Washington. It's this ticking time bomb. It's this nuclear time bomb. So I'm trying to defuse it by saying, let's just do the metadata first. We won't reveal any state secrets, and then we can go from there. So it's kind of a way of, you know, defusing the bomb.
That's an interesting approach. Yeah, it does make sense, and it's an interesting approach to this. So, okay. And I don't have any doubt in my mind that the treasure trove of emails contain some of the ugliest and deepest secrets of the deep state, the shadow government, the people behind all of this, the stuff that you've already uncovered with respect to DynCorp and Haiti and the Clinton Foundation, and so it's a reassuring approach, and we appreciate that as viewers to your channel. So, but yet you get the point across, the message across. Do you think, my view is this, I think the child sex trafficking and all the stuff that you've talked about, and I think you might have even said this, it seems like everyone is either bribed or compromised, in terms of our political leadership, at least at the congressional leadership. And Is that your belief, or?
Somebody said that to me in an interview, and I immediately go to the exceptions. I think Ron Wyden is an exception on the Democratic side, and I think Chuck Grassley is an exception on the Republican side. I still have my hopes for Jason Chaffetz and Trey Gowdy on the House side. You know, I think there are those people. I think Devin Nunes, who is a congressman from California, who heads the Subcommittee on Intelligence, is hopeful. Okay. So there's rays of hope, and I try not to do a broad brush. I try to look at these individuals and say, you know, what are they doing to try to, you know, be honest and be good governance. I do think, though, unfortunately, Doug, that a lot of times when you're moving from that state Senate level to the senator level,
right,
they don't do that. They don't let you do that unless they got you. You know, unfortunately, like the Marco Rubio thing, you know, unless they have pictures of you at the phone party, you're not running for Senate, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I do. And I mean, everything I've seen from my personal research kind of backs up that statement. It seems like if they can't control you, they're not going to allow you. Yeah, And that to me, it's disheartening at times, but I think, as you pointed out, there are exceptions still. And we have to,
yeah.
You know, yeah, that's good. Well, we've only got about 10 minutes. You know, I just can't believe it. We've only got about 10 minutes left, and I just so appreciate how you've handled all of this information. I just want to say, just go where you feel led to in the remaining 10 minutes, because, again, there are some things that I might have not covered that you want to cover, and so have at it.
Well, I think the one thing is that people can be, you know, they see all this stuff and the extortion and all the manipulations and so forth and the compromising of politicians, and it can be really depressing. You know, it's like, oh, gosh, this is so, this is such a huge, you know, thing landing on me. And so I have this message of hope, and that message of hope is that all these machinations, you know, that intrigues that people do in the politics and the little left-handed moves that people are doing, they all leave footprints. And in the old days, you had to have, you know, Woodward and Bernstein right there with a magnifying glass and a photo, you know, camera, you know, to ever have a chance, right? Mm-hmm. And that would be your only chance of collecting evidence. But now, with cameras, a GPS, you know, for, you know, geolocating every photo, time stamping, millions and millions and millions of phones, recording video. There's this huge amount of evidence. It's simply a matter of collecting the evidence to prove your case. And all these cover stories and narratives that are generated by CNN or whoever, CNN's the biggest one, can just be popped like balloons with a little pin of evidence. And it really is about the future of journalism, I believe, is data analysis, is putting these things together like I try to do on the maps, try to, mm-hmm. you know, bring things up and make patterns obvious through the data. Somebody did a beautiful Haiti map for me, mapping all the orphanages and where they were to the hospitals. And, you know, they're going to add layers to it and show where, you know, the USAID money was spent. And it just makes it so much more visually rich and able to see, the patterns. And that's the message of hope that I would put out for everyone. Yeah, all you have to do is watch a couple of videos and do what I call a compound search. And a compound search, if you're not familiar with it, is if you say, quote, Clinton Foundation, end quote, and then caps, A-N-D, and then whoever, whatever entity you want to put, you okay. know, something's going to come back. Something's going to come back where they go, oh, so-and-so was found, you know, doing this. And there's going to be a link there to an article. And just send me that link, put it on a video, and the accumulation of these links, it doesn't sound like that one thing is that great of a contribution, but it really is like, you know, 1,000 ants bringing, 1,000, whatever, rubber trees to make the
fort,
you know? Yeah.
And we did really depend on that.
It really works.
Yeah. Yeah, so just to be clear now, because, and folks, this is a call to action here, I believe. All of the listeners that we have, and we've got just a ton of listeners. So, if you're out there and you've got time, perhaps you've already investigated things or researched things, and after you've acquainted yourself with George Webb's YouTube channel, what he's already covered, try not to inundate him with things that he's already seen. But George, how can people get information to you? What's the best way?
Well, the first thing I would love people to do is find out who your sheriff is in your county. So find out who your sheriff is. That's the number one thing, because your sheriff runs your county. If there was ever a disaster or whatever, the sheriff is going to run the county. They call all the shots. That and then just search on your sheriff's name and the word DynCorp, DynCorp, and if you find something like they were in Bosnia or they were in Iraq or whatever, and most of those folks are great people, but just send me their name, just so I know, and I'm collecting this for the 3,000 counties in the United States, and just go to George Webb video channel and just leave me the, leave me a message. You can look at my slides. You can leave me the message on my slides. You can message me on Facebook. Our Facebook group is, that pound sign, HRC for Hillary Rodham Clinton, HRC, Ratline, R-A-T-L-I-N-E. And you can go to there, you can join the group, you can post whatever you find. If you have an article about sex trafficking in your county, where there was bad behavior by your sheriff or bad behavior by anybody, you can post it to the HRC Ratline.
Fantastic. Okay. And folks, please get engaged. We need, as Christians, we need to be involved. We need to be exposing the deeds of darkness. As conservative Christians, we need to engage in the battle. We need to stand up. And if we don't, who will? And we can make a difference. And that's the other thing, George. You know, to me, we can make that difference. You've made an incredible difference already by exposing what you have. So everyone can do that. Everyone can do what you're doing, but help you. Everyone can help you and elevate you through their information that they send to you. And we need, yeah, we need to be involved because we can change.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah. There's an absolute message of hope here. And it's the Google search is the most powerful tool ever invented. It's amazing. You couldn't have done it 20 years ago. You have the power that a whole fleet of CIA analysts didn't have 20 years ago.
Amen to that. No, I'll tell you what, I remember doing investigations back in the 80s and the shoe leather I went through. So as opposed to today, it's amazing. Well, my brother, you've actually concluded this segment. I just want to say thank you so very much for your gracious gift of time, and thank you for a wonderful investigative work product that you've given to everyone. Your YouTube channel, George Webb, W-E-B-B, and I just hope that you'll agree to come back on with us sometime.
Absolutely, Doug. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, my friend, and keep on keeping on, and we'll keep in touch. And I'll send you the link to this particular segmented video, and so you can share it with your group. But God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do, brother.
Thanks, Jack.
All right, man. Folks, that was George Webb. His YouTube channel, George Webb, W-E-B-B. Just an incredible researcher. And see, this is what we're trying to do with the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're trying to bring people, these are, and thank you, John Robertson. Thank you, sir, for arranging that interview. I wanted to reach, and sometimes there's just not enough time in the day. But by exposing the deeds of darkness, and I think this is a portion, this is something that many Christians are averse to for some reason or another, and I just don't quite understand it. Where, yes, you know, we and Pastor Langford's going to be coming on to talk about this. We have to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Certainly, we have to read our Bibles. We have to be in prayer. We have to do that. In fact, Rick Wiles, and I want to thank the people who, many, many people, my inbox is overloaded here. Many people have, sent me this urgent from, Rick Wiles that, emergency prayer from the body of Christ. Just go to Rick Wiles. Go to True News. Rick Wiles launches Christian prayer movement to uphold President Trump. You know, as Christians, we need to do exactly that. And it's my belief that we need to do, where possible, things like George Webb is doing, things like we're doing. If there were 100 Hagman and Hagmans out there, that would be great. Or maybe not, I don't know. But if there were 100 George Webbs out there, 1,000, 10,000, we can make a difference. But understand this, we are in the fight of our lives right now. You thought maybe we dodged a bullet, and I think we did in the larger sense through the election of Trump. But man, if you can't see right now what's taking place, if you can't see that everything that was spoken about, that we talked about last year, and the weeks and months and even leading up to today, where we're at today, my source within DHS, affectionately referred to as Rosebud, giving information that this day was on the horizon, the exploitation of the divide in this country by the people behind the scenes. We're there now. We are in a hot war internally. No bullets have been fired, but it's a war nonetheless. We have to be sober. We have to be measured. We have to be deliberate, and we have to be tenacious. And you know what else we have to be? We have to be united. I really believe that we have to be united with each other, singleness of purpose, having the righteous will and desire to expose what's going on. We have to stand together, or we will hang separately. And that's nearer than you think. It's here. It really is. Pastor David Langford coming on next. Don't forget, we're going to be in Chicago with Pastor Begley, May 5th and 6th. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.